Welcome to Soul Busy. I'm Rach.
And I'm Carly,
your CEO
and COO
sisters. We share unfiltered convo on balancing hustle with mindfulness
while running successful businesses with soul
and the real life between it all. Andrea Rubin, welcome back to the podcast.
Welcome, Mom.
Thank you, ladies.
Your mom.
Welcome back.
Your toe.
My mom's toe.
No one knows what that means.
My mom's toe.
We could tell them.
Yeah, I'll tell you. My mom likes to cuddle with me in bed ever since I was 13 years old, and she would rub her toe on my leg.
Yeah, I do it too now, I realize.
And I really don't like it.
She coasts her toe, and she likes to keep her toenails long. So it's like...
Okay, long as in demure.
You know, like...
What does that mean? I
mean, they're not like Al Karloff.
Ew. No one knows who that is.
Well, they should.
That's our step-grandfather who has very long toenails.
He's 93 and his toenails are
Rachel had to bathe him
a mile
day.
Long.
Stop. Okay.
All anywho. Right.
Well, we're
welcome to the chaos.
We're glad you're back.
Thank you, ladies.
Dave.
You are a very requested guest.
Wow.
And very, very, very popular episode. Huh. Probably like one of the most popular episodes.
Knew?
I mean,
not us.
I mean,
I feel like it checks out.
Yeah.
So we didn't know what we were talking about up until 24 hours ago.
Okay.
And then we were like, well, let's ask the people. What do the people want to talk about? And every single question they had for you was about parenting and about how to keep calm in the chaos of parenting multiple children, which obviously you've created an army of little humans out of your vahoo-hoo. And so I feel like you're the perfect person on the topic, Dave.
Okay, let's go.
You are an exceptional mother. You know that.
You
know that. I think we show that to you and you show that to us and we have a great relationship. But I feel like reflecting on my childhood, I never knew that it was crazy to have five kids personally, or that was a lot.
Was that normal though for you? Was that your goal your whole life was to have five kids?
No, but I...
You never were I want to have four or five kids.
I could have 10 kids.
But why?
I wanted to make my own family.
Because why?
Because mine was so dysfunctional that I thought...
Because yours was so fucked up.
Yeah,
you wanted to start
wanted
again.
I just recreate my own family.
And make it your own family? Did you not love your family growing up?
Oh, no, I love my family. Oh, okay. It had nothing to do with that. I just... I think I like the chaos and I like the love.
Yeah.
I have a lot of it. I'm not overwhelmed by it and I like it. I like it.
Why do you like chaos?
I just thrive in it.
It makes you feel more productive.
I'm comfortable in it. Very, very comfortable in it.
Me too.
I have trouble explaining why I feel that way.
I know. It's a hard question to ask, but I feel the same way.
I'm not even so sure I know anything else. I think that might be it.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like peace and quiet, and I do like my own time, and I do like my own...
That might be why you can handle chaos. Because you do like peace and quiet, too.
I do. I like it both. I mean,
we've talked about that before. You're a soul busy girl.
But I don't know if I think our lives were chaotic.
Yeah, but I think, I also think you don't understand that when you go get a massage, let's say weekly or bi-weekly, and then those pedicures and the self-care you do, I don't think you realize how much you take care of yourself to be able to manage how much you're managing.
I love my downtime and my me time, but my whole basis is dedicated to my family, my immediate little group.
Well, it's interesting because I'm obviously at the age where a lot of my friends are having kids. Your friends already have kids and then having multiples now. But something I get a question, I don't even have kids, but I'm kind of the friend that everyone likes to talk to for advice because I'm so smart and everyone loves me.
Cool.
Funny.
Yeah, but I'm just super honest, but I find I'm super honest here, but a lot of my friends are finding that it's hard to get it all done. Not everyone can go just get a massage and have a full-time job and have 2-3 kids. And it's just that you had 5. How do you get those things done when you do have multiple kids? Is a question I get asked consistently.
It's a funny question to me because I don't get it.
Well, there is a simple answer to that. And that is help. You've always had nannies.
Okay, yes, I've had nannies because I work full-time, but I still want
to... But that's part of it, is having somebody you can rely on to watch your children in order to leave your children.
Yes, I guess if you know that you need self-care and you love self-care and you know that's what you need, oxygen first, you get the right people in your village so that you can be selfish enough to go and take care of you to come back to them better.
Yeah.
You go to work, you come home, you're better. You give them. I'm not saying you're not pulled in a thousand directions. No, I see.
I mean, I think there's the utopian version of that. And then I think, so I really love to work. Like, I fucking thrive at work. Same. I have the best day ever. And I don't think about my kids half the time when I'm working. Like, I am in the zone. I'm motivated and I love it. But when I come home, did I miss my kids? Definitely. But am I at a very low level of energy to the point where I'm like almost on tilt of overstimulation and like I'm a little bit overwhelmed? Sometimes I do feel that when I get home.
But that was a phase for you. Like at first it was like, I don't want to leave Lily.
Oh, for sure.
I cried in a closet. Not like you didn't want to come to work because you don't like work. It's you didn't want to leave your child. She just came out of your womb. It's hard to leave.
For sure.
Then time goes on and you get more used to it. Would you say your schedule changes as the age changes? Like there's so many.
I think it's ever evolving.
Yeah.
It goes back to care. Having the help is really key. Having people that you know and you trust to be your caregivers is what matters. And I think when you can walk out the door with peace of mind, you can go. And that was what I had. If I didn't have peace of mind, I wasn't okay. But
with
your
children's care.
Absolutely. But when I walked out the door and I knew they were okay, even when they were screaming and chasing my car down the street, I just kept going.
I think that's the underrated part of it. Like today, I dropped Lily off at preschool. Her favorite teacher was there and she was screaming. Like she did not want me to go. She was losing her fucking shit. She was like, no, 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 no. And then I saw Miss Carla and I was like, and Miss Carla looked at me and she goes, go.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'm going. And you know what? I got in the car and I honestly, I didn't sit there dwelling and I wasn't like, oh, Lily. I was like, she's in great hands. She can shut the fuck up. I'm going to work. And I came here and I'm recording this podcast now.
Making good decisions in your life for your kids, for yourself is what gives you the power to kind of keep going and doing the right things by them.
Right. Yeah.
Picking the preschool that you picked and you know she's in good hands and making educated, intelligent, social decisions for Lily
right.
is what your gift is to Lily.
Right.
The rest is on Lily.
But right. You know what's...
And the care that she's getting there.
Yeah.
Those decisions are... If you're a mom and you're wishy-washy about your care or you don't know if you like her or you can't leave or you're afraid to leave them... then you're going to have no life.
Or if you don't like them, make an action to change. Get somebody. But I think this is a little bit of a privileged conversation because we all work full time. We have the ability to contribute to financial care. So like, I think we need to also talk about the topic of like single moms or like moms who don't have help.
Well, something I was going to bring up too is like when you first had Rachel, she was an accident. You weren't planning to have kids.
I was not. Carly loves to say I was an accident.
I'm not.
You weren't an accident though. You were planned.
I was a synchronistic, universally guided gift.
You weren't supposed to be.
I was a synchronistic,
universal gift.
Shut the fuck up. I'm saying
I get it.
At this moment in time, I'm planning to have kids. Me and Joe know what our schedules will be like. I know Joe's mom will watch our kids. Like I've already had that planned. When the baby comes outside of me.
Right.
But I'm saying for you, that wasn't the case. So were you planning, like you got pregnant, it was an accident, haha, I was planned. And you then went into like planning mode with that and you were like,
this. I made mom a mom.
This is what, I don't care. I made
no
mom.
One else
I'd also made mom another mom.
You made her a mom of multiples, but I made her a mom the first time.
Okay. I like don't give a fuck. Right. So like whatever.
Apparently you do.
No, I'm.
She does.
No, I don't.
She's
so my question for you is advice on having that first child, maybe an accident, maybe not, like what your plan was and what you did.
So I'm not
go
so
back to that moment.
So I got pregnant. I was not married, but I was dating daddy, and I went to him and said, "I'm pregnant," and he's like, "Okay." That's exactly my husband. And I'm like, okay, what? I'm not having a baby. I'm just not having just a random baby. And he's like, all right, let's get married. I'm like,
how old were you?
27. And I was like, okay. So, and I knew I would probably marry him. So it wasn't, I was 27. I had a huge career. I was, you know, independent. I was financially stable. I was good.
Yeah.
And it was not the greatest timing. But when I went to my OB, you know what she said? I said, this is really not a good time to have a baby. She's like, honey. There's never a good time to have a baby.
Interesting.
And I really believe that. Like, when is a good time? When are you perfectly at peace every day of your life and synchronistic with life that you think, today's the day I'm going to have
a baby? I am fully prepared for my life to get rocked off its fucking rocker.
Life is never...
I don't know if I agree with that, but I'll keep going.
There's good timing when you're like, okay, you're married and you have your home and you have, you know, some savings and your life is good, but you can't plan
that or you with think, someone that you know you're going to be with forever.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, things happen. I get it. But I'm just saying she taught me that. And I never forgot those words when she said it's never a good time. I was like, okay, great. Carry on. And then I was excited. And then I embraced it. And then I got married. And then I had Rachel. And then
were you pregnant?
Life was like better.
Did you show pregnancy in your wedding dress?
No.
Like people didn't know?
No, I was adorable. People knew that knew me. But I was only 3 months pregnant. And right. being so fit and fabulous, no one could tell.
Irritation that you didn't pass that down.
It wasn't that.
Interesting.
What?
Nothing.
So it's kind of just like one of those things that you like figure out.
I think everything in life is what you...
I find it very interesting. I think a lot of like my friends nowadays and like people I talk to, I probably would say this has a lot to do with social media and like what you can see on the internet. Are like, I'm having this many kids and I'm having this, and this is going to be my life and this is going to be how it's planned. And the thing is that I had to learn the hard way about having children. So no matter how planned or prepared I was, nothing can prepare you for the tsunami that is a newborn.
Yeah.
That is like, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, of course, I say it in a way of like your old life gets swept up and your new life enters scene. So it's like, but the chaos of it and how you handle it is I think what we're talking about is just being like, buck up and fuck up and let's fucking go.
Yeah.
Is a different attitude and how you handle the chaos. But
you also wanted kids, and that comes with an acceptance of, you know, that you have to put maybe your life as it was kind of on a back burner for a hot second and regroup. It's a regrouping.
Also, I think that that's what the preparedness is knowing with that preparedness that I will need to do that. I think what happens to some people that have a surprise baby or something is they don't know, or they weren't ready to like stop the drinking or stop the partying or stop the social life or stop this portion of life that they're not ready to say goodbye to. And then they have a baby, right? And then that's like a shock. So you know what I mean? So being prepared to say goodbye to the life you once had.
I mean, I was 27, I wasn't a big partier, and I wasn't afraid to say goodbye, and I really welcomed the new life that it was. I was ready for a change.
That's what I mean.
I wasn't planning it, but I was like, I really welcomed it. I welcome all change. I don't mind change. I like it. And I don't mind a pivot.
Yeah,
right. And you have to understand, if you're going to go have a baby, you need to know, because I can tell you this is true, it can come with things that you're not expecting.
Right.
You need to be able to be ready for that, too. It is not perfect. You can go outside with a perfect blow dry and it rains and it's over, right?
Well, see, that's the thing in your
getting
mind.
Getting pregnant is not the hard part.
I'm just saying pivoting. No, but I mean, it can be.
But I'm saying like you get pregnant and then there's so many other things to worry about.
I mean, like,
it's just like
perfect example.
It feels like your whole life. That was something I always worried about, getting pregnant. Can I get pregnant? Am I going to be pregnant, blah, blah, blah. And then whatever. I was just going to say.
So I'm going to tell you something. You're going to
Sorry. I finally got pregnant. It ended in a chemical pregnancy. It's all good. I'm fine. But I found peace in the fact that I actually got pregnant.
Right.
But when I got pregnant, this overwhelming worst fear came over me. I've never had anxiety like that in motherhood. My life, where I was like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. Now what's going to happen? And then I'm like, oh my God,
So
is the baby going to make it? Is this or that? It's weird. And then I was like, oh my God, what happens when I talked to a couple of people? They were like, wait till the baby comes out. Cause then you're just even having more overwhelming fears.
So fear and fact, I always say, are very different. It is scary to have a baby and to be responsible for someone and then love something so much that you're afraid something's going to happen to it. Let's face it. That's all you worry about. You want to see if they're breathing. You flick them. You want them to cry, but you want them to sleep.
I literally would stick my fingers in the girls' noses at night when they were sleeping in the bassinet and they were so still. And I'm like, they're not breathing.
Even when they sleep through the night, you don't because they're dead.
It's 100%.
It's so scary. And you know what? It gets scarier and scarier and scarier. And you guys then get your license.
I think about that often. I'm like, if you knew the things I used to do, like, it's like,
I can't believe the things I used to
do. Yeah, no, like, I can't believe, like, you were just okay with it.
I'm not.
I don't think she knew, Carly.
No. I knew enough. There's rope, and then I'll reel you right in. I just think that it's more about letting you learn and grow. You would not be who you are today if I held you back. Yeah. You had friends that their parents were like, no. In fact, once when there was a shoplifting incident and you weren't even the shoplifter. I punished you for being with her. And you were like, wait, I didn't do anything. I'm like, I don't care.
I literally had no idea she took those
earrings.
I actually
agree with that.
I punished Rachel.
No, I do. Because
and the girl didn't get punished. And I didn't understand it. And it was more, I was punished my entire.
The girl.
The girl. No names. But I will tell you.
I know afterwards. I can't remember.
Oh, remember. I can tell you that it's more like, if you don't go out there and learn, just like having a baby. I can't teach you how to have a baby, but I can teach you how to approach it and how to embrace it. You've got to embrace anything.
Yeah, okay.
And everything.
So I was thinking about this topic and meditating on it this morning a little bit about like why I think you're good at the chaos of multiple children. And I summed it up into two things that I wanted to talk about. So first of all, on that topic of love, right? I think that's part of what makes mothering chaotic, right? Because at times it can be overstimulating and overwhelming, and that overstimulation is meeting the extreme amount of love that you have. Mm-hmm. So then in the middle is somewhere right between there is parenting,
yes.
Right? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So when I think about you, I think the reason you're a wonderful mother and you're able to handle five children and could have had more without blinking is because you appreciate children, number one, and number two, you respect children. And that is what I've learned from you.
I agree.
Those two things are pivotal to be able to handle the chaos of multiple children.
Well, I am who I am because of the way you treated me. Like, I'm not just this person, because if you put me in a box and confined me, like most moms probably would have, because I was rude. I would say things that were out my, like, crazy. I would tell people I didn't like their house. I was ridiculous. But you let me be me because you liked the fact that I was opinionated and that I would speak my mind.
I was not going to kill your spirit. Yeah. That's who you were. You.
But I wonder if I was mothered by somebody else, if they would have.
Well, I'm sure that happens all the time. And yeah. Then people become, this is what I was trying to get to before, is when you have a baby and then you decide that you're going to control it. They're never going to have M&Ms. We're never going to McDonald's. You can say all this. Rachel said it. She's like, and I'm not giving them.
Oh, no, this morning I said, you're like, not having any Red 40, Lily. She was like, what? I was like, chocolate only. She was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, and then you're like, all right, try the licorice. I just
No, she's not getting any licorice.
I'm kidding. I would never give it to her. I'm just saying.
I'll eat it all.
It tastes like Hershey bars, though. You're chocolate and you're
I give her chocolate.
You're not a good candy picker. It's not on your roster.
It got mixed up. It wasn't good.
It's okay.
My candy wasn't good?
No.
You
guys, honestly, like, that's so hurtful because I sit in the store thinking you guys are going to shit on me and I try so hard to get a flu of everything.
That's not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's you got to be very specific and to the point.
Carly, that's why Carly's a great cook.
But
too.
I got you guys everything you wanted.
That's not how it works. No, you get everything you want.
Haribo gummy bears. I got a gummy bear pack.
I'm not eating it. And they're gone.
The Haribos?
But there's a lot gone. And your husband leaves little trails of wrappers.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's all good. I have the candy coming tonight. I'm not leaving it out.
I'd like to go back to something. So yes, you were mothered in a way where you were able to be yourself. I'm actually talking about like respecting, honoring, and appreciating small children, right?
Because like I do appreciate them.
That's the era.
I think that's what it is for me, is that I actually like small little people over big adults that were made, because that you were forming and molding. And daddy and I were good at like molding you, but letting you also expand on your own. And like when we knew, like, you are part of us, you are who we are. You are a 50-50 combo of who we are. And we have good values and you had great grandparents. And I gave you to the people, like, Carly, you went to Mexico when you were 12 because you wanted to go and I threw you on a plane. And looking back, I'm like, I'm out of my mind. But I did it because you loved the girl and I trusted her. And you went to Guadalajara and you know what?
I'm saying letting you be. No, I understand.
But I mean, normal people don't.
It was with my babysitter. I didn't go by myself.
I know. Well, you did go by yourself.
Yeah, no, I flew by myself.
But I think you just liked Mexican candy and you wanted to see it.
She liked the Mexican chocolate milk.
I was able to have it there. That is so good.
I know.
You should try that. We should get that. No.
In Israel, they have chocolate milk in bags.
It's powder, though?
No, it's in bags. It comes in bags. Mm.
I bet it tastes the same.
It's actually the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I think parenting is about letting go. And I think if you can learn that, then you can be the...
I think that's true when you're older. And I think to rephrase what you're saying, because I know what you're trying to say.
I don't mean letting go in a parking lot.
I think it's not taking it seriously is another part of it. Like, for example, when okay, let me back up. So I've gone, there's ebbs and flows, right? Like I have an almost 3-year-old and an almost 2-year-old. I got to the point where they were both sleeping through the night. I had my meditations 5 to 7 in the morning. I had my nights from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night. I was thriving. In the last 2 weeks, everything changed. I don't have, Mike and I have not had mornings. We have not had nights. Lily won't sleep in her bed. She's in my bed. I haven't slept in maybe 2 weeks. I'm fucking exhausted. I'm working full time. I'm tired. And so when Lily is testing me as a 3-year-old will and is disobeying me, which is obviously very common, she is pissing me the fuck off. And I'm overstimulated and I'm annoyed. And so when in those moments of exhaustion and testing me to my limits, how do I react? And this week I've observed myself a little as the witness. And I'm like, whoa, What?
Did you like yourself?
There has been times this past 2 weeks where Mike and I have both not liked ourselves as parents because we're like snappy and we're angry. And what I found is that because we're so tired, we are going to her level of reaction. And with those, we're meeting her at her feelings and becoming a reflection of how she's acting. And in those moments, the only thing that happens is we all just get more upset. Mm-hmm. And then when I find that I'm more well-rested or when I can wrap my head around a little bit more logically the situation and I get quiet to teach her the lesson, or when I am more calm and I make it a joke, or like I meet her at a different level and change her mood, I'm able to redirect the situation as the parent.
Yeah. It's probably more helpful, I would say. Like, I think both are great.
It's just, think about the moments you lose your anger.
Well, no, I think both are great because they're either lessons. I lose my anger all the time, but they're either lessons to myself, but I think that's about respecting the child. Is obviously a 2-year-old or 3-year-old is going to have a temper tantrum. Like, it's just
they can't express.
Yeah, it's they don't know what they're experiencing.
This is my point. Yeah. So what you just said. So that you have an answer when I come to you as my mom, and you're like, Rachel, she doesn't know what she's trying to say. Mm-hmm. And that's what I mean when I say you respect the child. So can you talk about that a little bit? Like,
yeah. So I think that challenge them, you lose, because they're going to challenge you right back. You have to be.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean is, like, when Lily's sad and she wants to be in your bed and you're challenging her and you're kind of bribing her and trying to do anything you can to get back into your bed, right? Your goal is to get back in your bed.
Exactly.
If you can switch it back to her and find out, why doesn't she want to be in her bed? What is she afraid of? Why is this new? What is triggering Lily to sudden? Lily loves her crib. She has every toy in the world in there. She has every blanket, the best sheets, the best pillows. She loves her room. She's at peace. We don't shut her door. So what's wrong with Lily? Why is Lily upset? She started school. It's new for her. She's probably thinking a lot. Lily's smart.
She overthinks.
You went away for 4 or 5 nights. That's a lot on Lily. She's not over that.
I know.
She can't express it, and time isn't really of a thing for them. They don't understand how many days, but they do remember you weren't there when she needed you.
And I think the important part about what you're saying is the inquisitive nature of the meeting the child at their emotion. And I think some people would say that raises like weak children, but I would disagree entirely. And this to me is where you shine, because you're like, maybe she needs something different. Mm-hmm. Instead of the language being,
go to bed at 7 o'clock, exactly, you have to go to
my
bed.
My toddler's out of control, yeah, or I have a behavioral issue, or there's something wrong with my kid. You ask yourself, why and what does she need that I am not giving her? And what's funny about the way you trained me is by communicating with Lily about that and allowing her to just sleep in my bed, I've just surrendered. And luckily I have a partner who meets me at that too. Right. He doesn't fight me at that. Cause I get worried about that. I looked at Mike last night when she was about to sleep in our bed and I was like, is it okay with you? And he was like, just until the new bed comes, just let her sleep. And then he slept downstairs so that she could sleep there. You know what I mean? So it's like
pivoting.
It's not probably not the smartest parenting. Like, somebody could scrutinize that. But I think what's beautiful about that is I was able to open up a conversation when Lily calmed down. And I said, what is it about your crib that's bothering you?
Yeah, but I'm kind of over it. Like, make your own fucking rules with your goddamn child.
Well, Rachel
I'm not saying raise your child to be this big brat that gets whatever the hell they want.
Definitely not.
That's not good either. And I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't want a niece
but
like that either.
That's not what's happening.
I'm saying to you, I think both are necessary. It's not like when Lily's being absolutely ridiculous, you're not like, it's enough, Lily, we're done.
I think children, sometimes you feel like they're manipulating you, but they're not. They don't know better. What does a child know when they're two or three? They just know how they feel. It's like all inside of them, and she can't just say to you, "Mom, I'm having a bad night. I saw a monster under my bed, and I'm really scared, and I don't know if I like school, and I hate when you leave me."
Right.
She can't say that. So she's just going to throw up all over you every other way.
It comes out in different ways. But I also don't think that means you don't take the vacation or you don't go.
Oh my God, you take two vacations.
But I'm saying, like, I think a lot of people would hear, "Oh, my child was sad when I leave." And
I think it goes two ways. So, like, I had two back-to-back trips. Like, I had one with the three of us, which was a girl's trip, right? And I was leaving her and she was with Mike. And then I had another one planned for our anniversary, which would have been 2.5 weeks later. I could tell that I put the girls a little bit on tilt emotionally by leaving the way that I did. So I did cancel our anniversary trip and switched it to just a dinner. Because I don't want to deal with the repercussions again of leaving and having to repair this emotion.
I think it's fine. Do whatever you want. But I'm not a mom, but I wouldn't want to like stop my life just because of my
children.
She
doesn't.
I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying generally speaking, like I understand I would feel sad that my kid was sad.
It's different when you see the emotional repercussion that came from it. Like it's not just sadness. It's like a full chain reaction of bad shit that like came.
No. I understand.
Like no sleeping.
No, I understand.
A separation anxiety. But that
might not just be the reason though. Well, they might be changing and growing.
It could be a million things.
If you take a vacation with your kids, I'm going to promise you, you're signing up for like, they're going to be off their rocker and your 18-month-old that's on a perfect schedule is going to be changing. So screwed up. So do you stay home forever or do you go and you just
figure it out?
My point is when I was old enough to understand, like, I don't remember you not being home, Mom.
Exactly.
Like, I've never remembered it. I've never thought of it and I've never even cared. I actually probably liked it.
You loved it.
And I'm saying, like,
I actually have to say though, I'm saying a little bit more selfishly, I'm not going again. Going away again, frankly.
Because it screws you up.
Because it's screwing me up. So, like, it's not about her.
I don't think it is. I'm just saying, generally speaking, to the public, like, if I'm sure that's something that people can relate to, where it's like they go away with their significant other, they come home and their kids are different.
I think it's a balance of both, right? Like, it's like you do need to go and you do need to have the separation from your children. That's super important. But like, I was talking to one of my friends and I was telling her, wow, it's so important to leave your kids. And her exact response was, I don't know if that's realistic for me. And the reason is because that individual didn't feel like she has the care to be able to do that. So that's like a very claustrophobic feeling.
Okay, but you know what? I'm going to go back to something. Then they don't really want the care because you would go and you would find it. Don't determination. Don't tell me that you can't get the care because there's care. I'm always looking for backup. I'm still getting care for a 27-year-old. There's care.
Right.
And you have to get good care. And maybe you're overpaying and you're giving up a fancy dinner.
You have to be the owner of your own
100%.
Life. Like, you have to try. Like, if you agree, whether your kid's an accident, whether you weren't planning for it or whether you were, you're bringing a life into this world that needs care and love.
Nurture.
But also so do you. So
there's nurture and there's nature. And you have to be able to do both and balance
100%.
I was selfish enough to know I'm not done. I'm 61. I look at your kids. I'm like, yep, I love them. I'm leaving. You're like, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm like, gone. People are like, you don't want to. I'm like, of course I want to. My mother is frozen at 88. Like she can't. She's like, you're leaving your husband. You're not seeing the babies. You're not. And I'm like, Mom, there's a balance to life. I'm a human being.
Right. You do life really well.
Moms
are
human beings. We need.
Maybe a little misfiry sometimes.
I definitely misfire, but
it's because you're always on the go. It's like you just never stop.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Someone was interested on this on the Instagram.
The Instagram. Something I'd
the
say.
Target.
How do you give all of your children the same amount of attention or love?
Well, they don't all need the same amount of attention or love. I'll give you that. And
did you always know that?
Nope. You don't know anything.
Is it because each child's different?
People always say to me, oh my God, I only have one. How do you have five? I can't even imagine. I'm like, honey, one is five. One needs so much attention that you might as well have five. But when you have two and then you have three and you have four and then you have five, I'm like, figure it out. You have each other. You're balancing off each other. I'm there.
I coach you, but
you guys figure it out. By
Yeah, but at the young ages, right? Like you had me and Carly 2.5 years apart.
Right. There's 12
Then
years.
You had Jake 5 years apart. So you had some spacing there. You had babies from 27 to 40.
Yes.
Right? Was there ever a time like that you can think back? I know that it's a hard question, but like when it was chaotic and there was a lot of kids where you were like, holy shit, like I need a break. Why?
When you say I need a break, I took breaks.
Okay, so you took the breaks, but like was there ever moments where you were like pushed to your limits of like maybe a behavioral moment or someone was like one of the kids were driving you crazy or like without it being like a coast over answer, like what's
I'm trying not to give you a coast over answer. I mean, I'm sure there were days that I had that I was probably pulling my hair out of my head and being like, oh my God, but I never was like, what did I do? Because
this is what you signed up for.
And love.
Yes.
You enjoyed
it. Overrides that feeling and the laughter and the love that we evolved to.
Yeah.
I can never look back. My childhood, whole different story. Yeah. I can look back and be like, whoa.
I wonder if that's part of it.
Definitely trying to
because I think
up my game.
I think you have this unlimited fucking gift of a reservoir of gratitude and perspective. Mm-hmm. And I think when you get slapped with a reservoir of perspective, it's because something very serious happened at some point in time to put you in that position.
It's the best thing that could happen to anybody. That's why I don't fear for you guys. That's why I let the leash go because I'm like, you know, I'm not wishing anything, but it's like things will happen. You know, Lily gets a bump on her head and I know where you go. And I'm like, Rachel, it's a bump. You know, or she has a little freckle. It's a freckle. But you're going to learn and it's not going to be from me. That, oh, that was a freckle. Remember when I made a big deal out of a freckle? Then they get their license and you're like, oh God, it doesn't end. It doesn't end for me with you. I got to worry about you. You have a mark. You're like, Mom, I have a mark. I'm like, oh God. You know, in my mind, I don't tell you what I'm thinking. I don't tell you what I'm thinking. I worry about, you know, Jesse in New York City. And you're never not worried when you push a baby out from that minute on. Even getting pregnant, you're not. But if you don't let go of the worry and the fear, then you'll never do it. You'll never fly if you're afraid to. But if you get on that plane and you're like, wait, this is fun. I like it. Yeah, I can crash. So what? We all can crash. I can't live my life. In fact, the older I get, the more I want to get on a plane and the less fear I have.
We recently worked with Eunice, the founder of Crown the Cool Interiors, to help us redesign Parlor, and she absolutely slayed. We're obsessed. Crown the Cool specializes in creatively driven interior design at the intersection of fashion and art. She can absolutely work with residential interiors too that aren't looking to go too crazy. I like Parlor to be loud, but I like my home to be neutral and soft, monochromatic, and she can do both so well. She's on a mission to create spaces that elicit emotion, that speak volumes, and boldly capture your individuality. I cannot say enough about how happy I am that I hired Eunice. She is such a talent, such a visionary. If you're looking for interior design help, go to crownthecool.com.
What's your advice for a couple thinking about having a third but scared about juggling multiple kids?
Have it. You can't juggle without at least three balls. Have the baby. I used to get my...
That's not true. You can juggle with two balls.
That's not juggling. That's throwing things up in the air. Juggling.
Well, no, because you could like go...
I don't necessarily agree with you about just have it.
Hold on.
I agree.
Hold on a second.
To me, that's a misfire.
I'm going to go back to something and explain to you something. When I used to get my nails done and I was in my early 20s, I used to get my nails done with all these women that were older than me. And the one thing they always said, every one of them was like, oh, they wish they had more children. They wish they had more children. And I said, I'm never saying that. Why do they wish that?
I want to bring up some reality, though, for a second. Times have definitely changed in the sense of things are more expensive.
Yeah.
Moms have to work harder now in order to meet and have ends meet. And I think that there is something like when we talk about like, when we tell my mom she has a misfire, it's like a family joke where she like says something, but she wasn't thinking. But like, obviously we're just completely joking around, but
they're not joking.
Sometimes we're not joking, but in regards to like, you can pick your lifestyle too, mm-hmm. and it can be planned. So like, for example, some people like love the idea of a lifestyle of two children. Obviously to you, you don't choose that. So you're like, have it. But like, some people like want to go back to traveling and they want to go back
quicker. Her question was if they wanted the third child.
No, I know, but what I'm saying to you is
about
they're thinking about it.
So it's like,
so they're thinking. This is the part that I think we don't do as a family all the time. Like we go. We don't think.
But okay, but when you think about, am I done or am I not? You weigh out the reasons in your own mind, right?
But if so you what should she weigh out?
How you feel about your own space and time. Does your house have enough bedrooms? Are you financially okay if you had to stop working because something was wrong and the baby needed more?
Do you think your marriage is strong enough to uphold more chaos?
Is your partner really helpful? Is it all on you?
Yeah.
Why do you want another baby? Is it because you have two boys and you want a girl? Because don't go for, that's like, see, there's
so many factors.
There's different people in this world and there's different mothers in this world and everybody has different situations. You are the kind of human who says, go. That was your first innate spark of a reaction.
Yeah.
And I understand because I live that life a lot of the times. But there are other types of humans on this planet who are not like go and are like contemplating. And should I go back on birth control?
I have a lot of love and respect for people who like when you're just like in conversation or meeting new people where they're like, we're not having kids and we've decided not to.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's a whole other life.
And I'm like, honestly, good for you that like you are so, you know that because there's nothing worse than bringing a child into an environment that they're not wanted.
Well, they're not the end all be all for everybody.
Which is interesting. And that's a whole nother perspective.
I think the whole thing though that it comes back to, right, is whether you were planning to do it or not planning to do it or blah, 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 or you want more, or you don't want more, you end up having more, but you didn't want more. There is a beauty in it all.
Yeah.
Right? There is a grace in it all. That's your message that you are saying. It's like, you believe that children are beautiful. You believe that whether they are handicapped and can talk or can't talk or need to have a feeding tube or need to be diapered until they're 27, you look at me and you have appreciation for diapering Jake. We are putting his diaper on and we are laughing our asses off while we're changing his shit in the cape.
Well, you're like, I got to change the baby. And I'm like, I got to change my baby.
Right. And we're laughing.
But I will say this. The women that choose not to have children, more power to you. I go into your homes as a renovator and a designer. And I'm like, do you have kids? They're like, no. I'm like, wait, can I sit down? It is so everything's clean and love it. And they travel and they're happy and they make peace with it. Whether they could or couldn't have them, I never asked that question. Yeah. But they're happy and they made a great life. And that is also pivoting if they wanted and couldn't have them. Yeah. And they're happy. I do not spend my life looking at, I never wanted to say, oh, I wish I did. Yeah. So I didn't, I just did.
I'd like to go back again to the chaos of having a lot of multiple young children.
Okay.
So we're in the kitchen, right? Everyone's screaming, right?
Yeah.
The dogs are barking. Let's say there's four kids at this time in your life. It's loud. It's chaotic. You just got home from a long day of work. Your kids aren't listening. Someone's disrespecting you. How are you keeping your calm?
Well, I specifically can remember like coming into the house and I had little nanny girls that were like 19. They really weren't even like mature. They barely spoke English. They were lovely. You guys were
You partook in like an exchange program, yes. Right? So like they would come.
They were adorable.
They came and lived in your house and they went to school and it was an exchange to come to America.
Yes. Yes. And they were lovely. And I had a lot of them and they were lovely, adorable girls and they were family, but they were young. So I would come home and I'd be like, oh, they had macaroni and cheese because the bowl's here and the thing's here and my pocketbook was still on my shoulder and I had a long day and I'm like, oh God. So I'd start slamming things in the sink.
This is what I want.
And putting things away and the macaroni and cheese. And I'm like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And the chocolate milk was on its side and I had to re-clean. Then they wanted to tell me how naughty you guys were and wanted me to punish you at the moment. And I'm like, no. You had my full permission to, you know, put them in the naughty chair or put them in their timeout. Yeah. Or whatever it was, right?
I was never in the naughty chair.
You were definitely in the naughty chair. But the thing for me is that I was glad to be home, but it was sucked that I had to now kind of, I had an audience of little girls that were like, well, what are you going to do about it? Right. Your little children are so spoiled. And I'm like, they might be, but I want to see them and I want to give them this time. And I watch you and it reminds me of that where I'm exhausted, I'm delirious, and they're naughty, and like, you know.
Yeah, but also
I'm not
going to
bombard you and be like, they were bad.
Dad didn't let us act that way, though.
Dad wasn't home yet.
But I'm saying when he did come home.
You were still naughty.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But I mean, the chaos was more just like, oh, fuck. But you know
what? What about that time did you want to give, and why was that important to you, and like what was going through your mind?
Because I was sad that I didn't see them all day. They needed me. I came home, and it was a big production. and a big deal. Some of you didn't even look up at me, but like, you were my babies. I wanted to clean you. I wanted to give you a tubby. I wanted to feed you. I wanted to love you and put you in your PJs and hear your day and know about your story. And there's this
window. So you were able to shut off like from the other crap.
Well, I didn't own the company. I just worked for a company. So it didn't have to bring any of that home with me, which is really helpful. Like now I own a company. Very different, but like I work for a company. I was able to leave and believe me.
And you loved that.
Believe me, I stayed there till 6:30 some nights because I was a monster and had to get my stuff done. And then, but you know what? I was fine. I wasn't there thinking about my kids. When I'm at work, I am working. And when I am home, I'm not that working is like anymore.
I love that.
So it's I think that to summarize that, you're saying presence.
Yes, I was
it's
present.
Presence. Because, and presence has to do with gratitude, has to do with appreciation. And I agree with you very much because when I find myself, and it's checking yourself too, right? Like there are moments the other night where Lily was like screaming in my face and she was going, no.
And she vibrates that one.
No. And I was starting to get heated because I was like, you little shit.
Well, yeah, you're 25 pounds.
Shut up. I was like,
I'm bossed around.
Shut up. And I was like, no, Rachel.
You can't mirror her.
Be present. You cannot mirror the child.
Ever. All you're doing is succumbing to their level. Now you're two.
Now you're 2 years old.
Who's the adult? Who is in control?
Exactly. Also, they have no freaking idea.
None. And by the way, they're over it after a Kit Kat. And you're... See, I get over things very quickly too. So when there's a moment,
me too,
and I'm punishing you, or I'm angry, or I'm sad, I'm also like, I love them, and I want you to come out.
I'm
and
like
be
that
with me.
Too, and I don't, love that.
So then you go back, and you can be, you know, how long do you punish a 2 year old? They don't last long enough for that, but you can teach them, and then you can still love them. They need it,
but how?
I think they need.
So let's say
everybody needs a minute.
Let's say there's a kid that's kicking, screaming, being unreasonable, being a complete douche toddler, and the mom just got home from work and she is fucking tired and she's like, "Yo, you're being an ass." What should that mom do?
Well, there's two things I think of. I think about letting the child kind of be a little douchey for a hot minute and like getting the chicken together and like getting my shit done. This is where I'm probably different from a lot of people. Like, I'm like, shit, daddy needs to eat and I got to get the chicken out and I'm going to get the broccoli and like, you're fine. So you're going to have a fit for a hot
you're
second.
You're not paying attention.
I don't really own it and I don't feed into that at all. Then I'm like, are you good over there? And then I'm like, what's wrong? What do you need? And the thing is, I think the check boxes need to be literally looked at. Are they safe? Are they well? Do they have a fever? Are they not okay? Are they have a dirty diaper? Are they hungry? What? I check boxes and then I'm like, okay.
It's like how many things could it possibly do?
That is the answer.
Exactly.
Because it first of all, that is the answer at newborn. That is the answer at toddler.
Yep.
That is the answer at 12
it's really,
and having a fit. Because the truth of the matter is if a newborn has, you've checked every boxes and the newborn just wants to cry, let the newborn cry.
They need to cry. They can't tell you.
But it's also like,
they don't want to be touched.
How
so
would
much.
You treat an adult when they're upset or your partner? Like you would give them such emotional help and support and feel like, okay, I'm going to take this seriously.
And well, some people
that's
need
called
you
respect.
You need also to back off a little bit. Sometimes babies need just not to be touched anymore. They're overstimulated. They can't tell you that. And so they're crying and crying. Guess what happens? Complete stranger comes into the room and they're like, give me the baby.
I find newborns to be the easier end of things only because of what you just said with the checklist of
only
like
if you're able to
diaper,
put them down.
Tummy, colic, gas.
You're just saying it's like easier to figure out.
It's a checklist. I can go through the checklist so much easier of what the problem could be. And then when I get to the end of the checklist and they're still crying, then I let them fall asleep on me. I want to point out something though, that is a very common theme in everything we've discussed today. And that is the surrender to the child.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what you're trying to say too, of like, I respect them. I appreciate them. Your kid's having a fit. You just got home from dinner. You need to make the broccoli, the chicken's burning. Da-da-da-da-da. You are saying, you know what? Feel your feelings.
Yep.
Go feel them. I respect them. I want you to run through them. I'm going to fix the broccoli real quick. I'm going to come back to you.
Yes. Yeah, I love when you
say
that.
I love that because you're not taking it too seriously.
But you also had a plan. Like you knew what you were doing. You knew your child was having a fit. You had your own thing going on. You didn't like let go of that.
I don't know if you can plan You can't plan.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, she wasn't like proactive, but she was saying like, in this moment,
I'm going to proactively let you have a fit.
It's kind of like a little plan in the moment. She's like having a fit. You go do your thing. I'm going to go do my thing. We'll check back in.
There's also flexibility in parenting, right? There's this, you're not going through the parking lot without holding my hand. And it's non-negotiable for me, right? Non-negotiable. Meaning I don't care what kind of fit you're having, you're never letting go or I'm carrying you.
I would agree with you completely.
Okay. But then there's like, I'm having a fit. She took my toy. I can't find this. I blah, blah, blah. I want a Kit Kat before dinner, blah, blah. And then you're like, okay, you're good. So
I think it's kind of like categorizing the situation you're in, which I think is the challenge, right? For new moms or maybe moms who don't have a mom like you, who like didn't have five kids and like you're not like your mother goose, right? So like I can come to you, you're like an encyclopedia of education on parenting. I think some moms don't really have that resource. So that's why the internet can be so helpful. That's why a podcast like this can be so helpful, right? Like how do you meet them without your rage entering scene in the really heated moments must be very hard for people. And let's talk about all of this too, like as a single mom or something, right? Like let's say you don't have the support and you are coming home and you were working full time and you just picked your kid up from daycare and they did have a snotty nose and you are on tilt and like then you have to meet your child. I think that the answer is pause, presence,
yep,
appreciation, meet the child at their emotions and have some compassion for the child respect.
I think the single mom thing really has me because I know a lot of them and I work with a lot of single moms that are really baller moms that have little kids that are divorced with like an absent father and they're killing at work and they come home and they're like, oh my God, I'm a single mom. And I'm like, oh my God, how do you do it? But you know what? They do it too, because it's great when someone else steps it up. But when your kid's having a fit, it doesn't matter who shows up for them. They're just having the fit. The dad, the mom, the other mom, it doesn't matter who shows up. It's more about what are you going to do about that moment?
When how do you other like, thing, respect
if you
child?
Have a pot on the stove and it's boiling over, you got to get to it.
Right, weighing it out.
Right.
Right.
It's like you're two, you're three, you're having a fit. You're not in a parking lot. You're not in a tub alone. You're not playing with a knife. I mean, there's things you got to look at. You're safe. I'm here. I'm watching you. I am right here. Help me cook dinner.
I think it comes back to when you are having the ability to surrender in those moments, it comes back to how well you are mentally. That's why I brought up the point of like having very like sleepless nights because I was unable to get to my mornings or my nights, I couldn't do my meditation baths, I couldn't do any of my routines, and I wasn't sleeping. So then I found myself not a nice person. And so that's why I have to have these routines to get myself back, whether it be a little massage or like I just got like a little back massager that I can just do at my house that I've been using all week just to kind of like revive myself a little. The little things you do for yourself to be well, to be a good parent is super important.
Also, I think it's really important to know that it's okay to just get into bed when they do and be like, fuck it, I'm not doing anything I thought I was doing because I'm
like,
so
physically,
right.
That was me last night.
I'm so exhausted. I'm like, Rachel, go to bed and don't like put your phone down and literally throw up and go to bed. And it's a trick that newborn moms, you want to throw up. You're so tired.
Well, so that was me last night.
Newborn moms aren't good at that. Like everybody said to me, when the baby lies down, you lie down. I'm like,
I fucking hate that. I hate that. When the baby sleeps, you sleep. I'm showering.
Right. It doesn't happen. But the thing is, if you can learn to just let go, what's important? If it's not terminal, it's fixable.
Shield up, cancel clear.
Right? Let's go. That's how I truly feel.
Perspective.
Yes. I have a quote that I got off my
phone. While you're looking for that, I'm going to just say something. So yesterday I had a photo shoot that was over 8 hours. I was shooting photo, I was shooting video, and I have arthritis in my right hand, and my hand was giving out on me all day, but I just kind of toughed through it. Those cameras are like 30 pounds each. The girls were trekking on me in the morning, and I had no sleep the night before because Lily wouldn't get in bed. So I woke up and I was literally on tilt. I had planned to wake up at 4, so I pre-communicated with Mike that I was going to wake up early and he needed to take the morning shift and I needed some time to like decompress, but the girls really wanted me. So they came upstairs when I was trying to meditate prior to the shoot and I was like trying to use new equipment. I was on tilt. Like I wasn't okay. Got through the shoot. What is this tilt thing?
I
couldn't be straight. Like I couldn't function normally.
I mean, tilt is a saying.
It's like I couldn't handle life straight on.
And I got home from work.
I think you were on a verge of, freaking out.
When the I was girls, on a verge of absolutely freaking out.
Well, like, then you know you're you see yourself losing it, which means you could lose it on them, and that's not how you choose to parent.
I don't want to parent that way. So, but then I got home, and you were there. And I was so grateful because you could tell that I was, like, a little wonky. And you waited a few minutes for me to, like, calm down, which I always appreciate, because coming home straight, I sit in the car in silence on my drive home just so I can, like, raw dog it, have a little peace. But then we went to the nighttime routine and Sadie was easy, but then Lily wasn't. And I looked at Mike and I go, I literally don't think I have it in me tonight. He was like, what do you mean? He was like, I was like, I like literally, I have nothing left. And he was like, well, I want me to do the routine. And Lily goes, no, I want you. And I was like, oh my God, I go, what if you just get in bed with me? And she goes, what? And I go, just get in bed with me. Mm-hmm. I was like, just let's go. And she goes, okay. And she, this bitch sprints down the hall. She was naked in my bed faster. And you want to know what? I said, Lily, I will let you sleep in this bed if you are calm, quiet, and go to sleep right now. Because I'm going to sleep right now. She goes, okay. Lays down, goes to sleep. I go to sleep and I got a 95 sleep
and
score.
And honestly,
and what, like, a beautiful, adorable little moment. Yes.
But also,
there,
like,
are people that are, like, shaking their head and
that,
like,
your child slept with you in the bed.
Well,
like,
well, because, I get it. It's because, like, you break routines.
You break routines, but, like, life is all about routines.
Let me answer that question for you. Here's the problem. A 2.5-year-old, a 3-year-old does not understand the ability of one night being one night.
I get it.
Now they're coming in. Every night.
But your routine was fucked either way.
But you can break. Right. You can
so
also
it's
break.
I surrendered.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, yeah, you're going to have, it's going to suck for the next 3 days or whatever, but, like, you got a good night.
No, every parent surrenders or should know how to surrender when it's just not important enough.
But you know, I agree with Mike, though, on the bed coming, the new bed that's coming, because it's like, that's going to be a transition,
well,
too.
So we had a conversation privately for a quick second because we knew there was a new bed coming Saturday. And so what I did that was helpful, I will say, as a tool, is I said to Lily, you have a new bed coming Saturday. It's a queen bed. I had her pick it out with me. She feels ownership over that. She's excited.
Yeah.
And I've been talking about it and showing her and re-showing her the picture. And it's coming Saturday. She's excited, right? Yeah. So that alone was a helpful tool to know that, like, we feel like there's an end. God knows what will happen Saturday when the bed comes. But I surrender to that too.
And that can be a new pivot where now you're like, okay, old habit. She was in my bed. I let her. Now I have to, like, retrain and say, okay, but you can't, this is how it's going to go. Is it going to work? I have no idea. Lily's strong. Her personality is strong. I don't know. 2- and 3-year-olds are tough, but you try it again.
Right.
Until it works.
Patience.
And you know what's funny? It's like you had a pacifier. You were the only one out of 5 kids. You needed that pacifier so bad. And everybody's like, she needs to leave. Every pediatrician was like, get rid of it, get rid of it. I'm like, no, she loves it. She soothes. None of them need it. She needs it. I don't know what it is, but it helps her. You didn't want it. No one else wanted it. I let you have your passy. And when you were 4 and 5, I'm like, okay, I don't want your teeth.
I also don't know if I agree with that. I don't think I'd let that happen.
Okay, but hold. But you know what, Carly? It's like an emotion that
maybe
she
it's
wasn't.
Why I had a snaggle tooth.
I'm just saying, like, I think there's points of letting go and there's points of not. And
I'm,
like,
not, no.
I probably would have been like, you're done with the pacifier.
You say that, except for it's soothed her.
It doesn't
she
matter.
She didn't have a blankie.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, I think there's balance to both. And I think something we didn't shed light on too, that, like, is a big part of raising kids is your significant other of who you choose to raise kids with.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And, like, I think it wasn't, yes, dad was full-time running his own company, but, like, he was a big part of my childhood.
Huge.
Too. And
but he could also calm you. Mike is also very capable of that.
Regardless of who it is, I'm just talking, like, what I got from my parenthood is, like, that balance of letting go, but dad wasn't a letter. He doesn't let anything go.
No, but he would teach you.
Yeah.
He's a better teacher than me.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I got different things from both of you.
Because I'm
from
the lover and he's the teacher.
No, he was both. That's not true.
What I think you guys have in common, dad is not as much of a lover in the same way as you. You're a softie in that way. You're an appreciation, raw emotion,
I dig
beautiful.
Deeper.
You're understanding of the why. Dad is understanding of, I think, more the psychology.
Yeah.
So I think for him, he was able to rise above and he would just get quiet and open his eyes.
Dad have, and then still
in a
does
serious
to
way.
This day to calm me. Like, I'll call him and he'll be like, what's going on? And I'll be like, no, 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 and this and that, and I'm fat. And, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you want to work out with me? And I'm like, no. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, okay, thanks. That's all I needed. Bye. And we'll have like, I'll hang up on him. And it's just
always
100%. But like, it's just having that. I'm very lucky and grateful to have that balance.
Well, you can throw up and then you're gone. And then he hangs up and he's over you.
But yeah, I think the who you choose, who your help is, and I'd love to hear your quote. But also the last question I have kind of to end on this is like, do you think parenting styles have changed since we were little to now? Like, do you find that people raise their kids a little bit differently?
I mean, of course it's changed. It really doesn't, it doesn't need to have changed because.
And does it matter?
I mean, you guys have way better TV shows than we ever offered you. I mean, social media, people are more busy on their phone and not as present with their kids maybe as they could be.
Yeah.
Kids are way more privileged. They're vacationing. They're going to dinner. They're, you know, when I went, we went to dinner a lot, but like we had our own separate vacations too. I think it's really just about who you are and what your values are and what you want from your child.
Like what's important to you.
What matters to you. Parenting is not there's no rule book. It's how you feel. It's what you, why is every, you put 30 kids in a class and none of them are the same, right? Because right. Every parenting is.
That's Montessori.
Right? Everybody's.
The individualized child.
I mean, how can any child be the same? And then it's really more about like, what does your child bring to the party that you gave them and how do they incorporate it into their own life,
yeah.
Right? What we gave you, and then you should have your own things that you've picked up along the way, right? You're like a piece of sticky tape and you're picking things up as you go through your whole life. And then you incorporate that. You're not gonna parent the way I parent. You do things differently. You're a lot more, definitely very strict. Present. No. You demand like a lot more respect. I didn't take it as seriously. And I know, like, you guys could never make me cry. I knew I loved you. And the way you felt about me was your problem. And I felt that honestly. Like,
you're the biggest, fattest contradiction that ever existed in the best way ever.
Why?
Because you take the child seriously in a sense of respect.
But you also don't
take them seriously in the sense of...
In a good way.
I'm saying it positively. In the sense of you're able to separate... I am taking you seriously because I love and respect you, but I am not taking your actions seriously because I love and respect you.
I don't know if it's just a contradiction or if she's just not harsh on one way.
Right.
Like, I think
she's
like
flowing.
You and dad are very similar in that way where you're harsh on one way. And like, I do think I'm similar to mom and not in a bad,
am I?
It's not a bad thing. I'm not saying it in a bad way at all.
I don't take it that
like
way.
Like I'm saying like your schedule's your schedule. I'm following your schedule when I come over. Like
same.
I again don't have kids, but I don't know how I'd be. Like I'd be like, they went to bed at 6 so instead of 7.
I want to be super clear. The schedule thing has nothing to do with my kids. Nothing to do with my kids. It is.
No.
Everything.
That's who she is.
No. The schedule thing is so that I can live a life I like.
No. I agree. Freedom. And I'm grateful to watch you parent. So when I do it, I can follow lead. But I'm just saying you definitely are like, this is the way, this is how I'm doing it. Not in a bad way, but I do feel like I could be like, this is the way, but I also could be like, whatever.
Oh no, that's more me. I am way more whatever. Like for example,
You give in a little bit because you realize this is a loser.
No, I know my limits of what I can do in the moment, right? Like when a child is having a meltdown, I never correct behavior. I never try to correct my child's behavior when they're freaking the fuck out because they can't hear me. So I'm not like, you're going to your room or you're going to go to timeout. I'm like, you can't even hear me.
So they don't even know what that means.
She doesn't even fucking get it. So I'm like, all right, I want you to feel what you're feeling. Run through those emotions. I'm going to walk away for a second. And then I will come back to you in a minute. This is literally how I handle the tantrums. Then I come back to her and I try to reason. She's not ready to reason. So I say, listen, like at bedtime sometimes, I'll reset her. I will put her in her crib. I will let her cry. And I will say, feel those feelings. I'll be back in a few minutes. So I let her cry.
And you come back.
And then I come back and I'm like, hi, how are you doing? Would you like me to sit in the chair with you for a minute? She's like, yes. And whereas before, if I said, would you like me to sit in the chair? She wouldn't sit in the chair, right?
That little scrunchie.
So yeah, she's like, I do. And so then I will sit in the chair with her and I'll get her calm. Once and only once I get her calm, then I will look at her and say, let's talk about what you just felt and talk about what just happened. And I'll try to approach it that way.
I don't know if I could do that.
You can. They say that no argument is solved while you're fighting.
Never.
Right? A grown-ups, marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, doesn't matter. You do not solve anything within the fight. So yeah. If you relate that to kids, you're like, okay, this isn't good. We're fighting.
It's interesting.
Right?
So parenting is interesting. It's something I've never had to think about.
And by the way, you don't think about it till you're doing it.
At like, all.
You don't will have not to
think about it. All. Like,
you're gonna think you know how to parent because the way Rachel raises her kids and you jump on
my kids
that,
might be different.
100%. Yeah. They're not gonna be the same. No matter how related you guys are.
Like, I'd love to hear your quote.
Yeah, let's end on a little note of your quote.
So my quote, and I just kind of wanted
the
to
password
say
on your
something.
Phone is unbelievable.
What is the quote, Dave?
Well, I have a few.
Okay.
Enlighten us. Okay. One of the ones I like was acknowledging the good that you already have in your life is the foundation for all abundance. Mm. And I
gratitude.
Do feel like I'm so ridiculously grateful that I never jump ahead to things that could be bad. I don't because I'm so happy. Every night when Michael Rubin will come home from a night out when I've already been in bed for hours and I'm waiting, he pulls in, I hear the car, and I knock on my headboard. I'm just so happy. I know where everybody is and everybody's in their place, and I'm very happy about that. I think parenting for me is all about keeping everybody well, and if everybody's well and everybody's okay, I'm okay.
It's a series of gratitude.
It really is for me.
Gratitude and perspective is the theme of your life.
I'm so grateful that I have perspective. I don't think a lot of people do, and it's sad because you don't realize what a gift it is. Because if you have it, then these things just don't matter.
It is a gift because you don't know who is struggling to have them and can't.
Like if I started right. out with
it,
another.
It just is. Like you just don't know.
I started out with another shirt and I spilled my coffee all over myself dribbling down. And I was like, ugh. A part of me could have just worn it and come in and not even thought about it. But I was like, they're going to kill me.
That would have been weird.
I know. But I didn't have a lot of time, so I changed. What I'm going to tell you, though, is those things aren't important to me. Like what's important to me is my kids' well-being. Physically and mentally.
You never get too caught up in the moment of the chaos.
No.
You rise above chaos, which is why you thrive in it, because you're not actually in it.
I'm not
in it. I think that that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
So when it's like how to stay calm in the chaos of multiple kids or the chaos of, like, I'm never.
You're not like giving into
yeah,
it.
Like, yeah. Like when it comes, people are like, how do you do it all?
I hate when
I'm
people,
not
but do
in
what?
It.
You just sounded like, I'm getting the dog. But
she loved that dog.
But the thing is for me is that like that I get that question about like, how do you get so, are you overwhelmed? Like I'll go see my acupuncturist and I'll be like, are you overwhelmed? Are you stressed? I'm like, no, I don't even know what that means.
Me
like,
either.
You're bothering me like, when you ask me that question.
Well, because you're just keep moving.
Yes, I'm sure there's times I'm stressed and have anxiety and like feeling it, but like I'm either talking about it, dealing with it, or like moving on.
Or go right. fetal and just get over it.
Yeah, go fetal for a second, feel it, and carry on. I think it's
we're children. We're all children.
You have to feel
children
it.
Children are adults, and adults yeah. are children.
They have
all
to
we are,
feel it. I think
all we are humans.
I think feeling it is very, very important, and that's what you need to let Lily do, even if it's just
let's
sad.
Let's hear your last quote.
Okay. Life is strange, beautiful, and terrifying, and I am thankful for every minute of it that I have had it. I am thankful for every minute yet to come. And that, it is terrifying. Having kids is terrifying. Life is terrifying. Planning is terrifying. But if you just let go a little bit and embrace it, you're going to love it.
Namaste, Dave. That was beautiful.
Namaste. I mean that.
That was beautiful. I think that was a really wonderful episode because I think we touched on whether you're thinking about having a baby, multiple babies, having more, if you're in the current chaos of the shit show of toddler life, or if you have older kids. Thank you so much for being here and for being honest. I think that you are a perfect example of like you have 5 children, you've built a beautiful life, and you've handled it with grace. And you're really good at like keeping the perspective and the gratitude. And I think that's the message
I love it
here.
All. I think the message too is it doesn't mean you just have 5 kids to have them either.
Right.
Like I think you need to do what's best for you and your lifestyle and what works for you and your husband or significant other or whoever you're having children with.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't having 5 kids just to have 5 kids. I mean, there was actually a reason that I have 5 kids. So just.
Well, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, if I had not had Jake, I don't know how many more kids I had. I just knew having Jake was going to make me need more to have more chaos.
Jake is our handicapped brother in case this is your first episode you're listening.
It made you feel better.
Well, no, right after Jake, I'm like, oh, I can do this, but I'm going to need another baby. And Daddy said, do whatever you need to do to get through it. And that's what I did. And then had another one. Most people would have probably stopped. But for me, I needed all of it. So it wasn't a focus for me. I didn't want to just focus on Jake.
Yeah, and you did it for you, but you also knew what you were doing and knew
I did it with purpose.
Yeah, like you presence 100%. And I think that's okay to have kids for a purpose for yourself as long as you're taking care of them properly.
Of course, yes. And I think like in the topic of multiple children, if you are going to have more, can you continue to take care of you?
Exactly.
Is the ending conversation.
And like having love in your relationship.
Well, if you're overwhelmed,
you can't sacrifice yourself.
Yeah, like you,
if you're overwhelmed by two, don't have more.
Exactly. I think that's my message. This is the point. If you're not well with two,
right.
Please don't have three.
Stop. Right. You're not doing well.
Or wait a little bit.
Or just know your limits.
Yeah.
Know yourself.
Well, Mom, thank you for coming. Rock on.
Thank you for being here.
We love you. Thank you for having me, ladies. I love you too.
Over and out.
XO.